ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಾಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣೀ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದೀ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೋರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರೀ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಲೀಲಾಮೃತ್ ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಸ್ಟೇ ಹೈ ಫಾರ್ ಎವರ್ ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಟುಡೇಸ್ ಹೋಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ LSD all the past times regarding LSD and all that. Prabhupada lived amid the drug culture in a neighborhood where the young people were almost desperately attempting to alter their consciousness, whether by drug or by some other means, whatever was available. Prabhupada assured them that they could easily achieve the higher consciousness they desire by chanting Hare Krishna. It was inevitable that in explaining Krishna consciousness, he would make allusions to the drug experience, even if only to show that the two were contrary paths. He was familiar already with Indian sadhus, so-called sadhus, who took ganja and hashish on the plea of aiding their meditation. And even before he had left India, hippies, tourists had become a familiar sight on the streets of Delhi. The hippies liked India because of the cultural mystic and easy access to drugs. They would meet their Indian counterparts who assured them that taking hashish was spiritual, and then they would return to America and perpetuate their misconception of Indian spiritual culture. So when Prabhupada was there in West with these hippies, that hippies movement was already well known throughout the world because so many tourists they keep coming. So here he writes that it was a familiar sight in Delhi streets where the foreigners they used to come with some drugs on the name of being some spiritual yoga or something like that. And then India was famous for spiritual culture, but then many times they used to come here and learn wrong things and then go back and perpetuate that. It was the way of life. The local head shops carried a full line of paraphernalia. Marijuana, LSD, peyote, cocaine and hard drugs like heroin and barbiturates were easily purchased on the streets and in the parks. Underground newspapers reported important news on the drug scene, featured a cartoon character named Captain High, and ran crossword puzzle that only seasoned head could answer. So that was the whole that means they had a special news articles for the people who are taking drugs. They had a special cross puzzle, putting the words specifically meant for. Here he says that they are only meant for seasoned head. The head which is already into drugs, that only can solve that. No one else can solve. So, from all sides, that was propagated. Prabhupada had to teach that Krishna consciousness was beyond the reverse LSD trip. Someone is asking, do you think taking LSD can produce ecstasy and higher consciousness? He is asking to his students. He once asked his storefront audience, then just imagine a room full of LSD. Krishna consciousness is like that. So, Prabhupada is giving to the people who are so much stooped in taking LSD, Prabhupada is explaining Krishna consciousness in their terms, telling that this is what actual Krishna consciousness is, that if you are finding happiness here, that happiness in such LSD and other activities multiplied millions and millions times, that's what is Krishna consciousness. So this was one of the Prabhupada's very important difference between many other acharyas also, that Prabhupada could go down to the audience and touch and transform. So that's how Prabhupada was such a revolutionary acharya, that he could bring that high level, very lofty principles of Krishna consciousness to down even to the hippies. People would regularly come in and ask Swamiji's disciples, do you get high from this? And the devotees would answer, this means chanting Hare Krishna. So do you get high from this? And the devotees would answer, oh yes, you can get high just by chanting. Why don't you try it? Greg Sherf, Brahmananda's brother, hadn't tried LSD, but he wanted higher consciousness. So he decided to try the chanting. Greg, he writes, I was 18. Everyone at the storefront had taken LSD, and I thought maybe I should too, because I wanted to feel like part of the crowd. So I asked Umapati, hey Umapati, do you think I should try LSD? Because I don't know what you guys are looking and talking about. Umapati said, no, that Swami said that you don't need LSD. I never did take it, so I guess it was okay. Hayagriva, have you ever heard of LSD? It's a psychedelic drug that comes like a pill, and if you take it, you can get religious ecstasies. Do you think this can help my spiritual life? He's asking to Prabhupada. So he's asking that, Prabhupada, what do you think? Should I take some drugs so that it can help me in my spiritual life. Prabhupada says, you don't need to take anything for your spiritual life. Your spiritual life is already there. So Prabhupada was Jai Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ji Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Prabhupada was telling the same sublime spiritual truths. He says, you don't need to take anything for your spiritual life. Your spiritual life is already there. As Chaitanya Charitamrita says, that Krishna Prem is Nitya, that is eternally residing in the heart. What is that verse? Yeah. He says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaya Uday. So that Krishna consciousness is already there. That is in the heart of hippie, that is in the heart of learned Brahmana in the India, it is in the heart of African, some Congo person staying in the forest, it is in the heart of dog, it is in the heart of mosquito. That Krishna consciousness is there in everyone's heart already, being the part and parcel of Supreme Lord. But then, when such sincere soul comes in touch with pure devotee, then that awakens by chanting Hare Krishna and Shravanam. So Prabhupada said, you don't need to take anything for your spiritual life. Your spiritual life is already there. Had anyone else said such a thing, Hayagriva would never be agreed with him. But because Swamiji seemed to so absolutely positive, therefore there was no question of not agreeing. Because that time the whole situation was, all these hippies, they were into their teens, around 20 years, and they had a slogan that don't believe anyone above 30. So that was their, because they used to feel that 30, above 30 means they are mad people. They are into their own life and, you know, too much moral and too much, you know, so-called good people. So we don't have to stereotype people. So they wanted to invent something, and they felt that only in youth you can invent something. Once you become old, then you are like gone. So, and what to speak of above 30, here is a man above his 70s. More than double. But still, here he says, if someone else would have told him that don't take LSD, he would have said, okay, forget about it. Who cares? But now when Prabhupada is telling here, he says, because they knew that how Prabhupada is so absolutely positive in life. He was not just telling, don't do this, don't do that. But he was giving something very positive. Satsarup Maharaj writes, I knew Swamiji was in a state of exalted consciousness, and I was hoping that somehow he could teach the process to me. In the privacy of his room, I asked him, is there spiritual advancement that you can make from which you won't fall back? So, he is asking a very important question to Prabhupada. He is telling, does it really happen in spiritual life that you don't come down? By his answer, Prabhupada gave one word answer. He said, yes. And Satsarup Maharaj writes, I was convinced that my own attempt to be spiritual on LSD, only to fall down later, could be replaced by a total spiritual life such as Swamiji had. I could see that he was convinced, and then I was convinced. So, because Prabhupada was fully convinced about Krishna consciousness, his activities itself were, you know, convincing to the hippies, who were also trying for so many things. Here just Prabhupada said, don't worry, Krishna consciousness is sufficient. Greg, LSD was like the spiritual drug of the time, and Swamiji was the only one who dared to speak against it, saying it was nonsense. I think that was the first battle he had to conquer in trying to promote his movement on the Lower East Side. Even those who came regularly to the storefront thought that LSD was good. So, Prabhupada was going into the right, it's like going in the cave of the lion and taking the tail of the lion. It was like he was going right to the place where the whole Hyde-Ashbury that was famous for drug taking. There he is going and telling, you leave the drug. So that was like very courageous on the part of Prabhupada. Probably the most famous experiment with LSD in those days were by Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert. Harvard psychology instructors who studied the effect of the drug. So, they were like the leaders in the society and who had studied the effect of that drug and they were propagating. Who studied the effect of the drug, published their findings in professional journals and advocated the use of LSD for self-realization and fulfillment. After being fired from Harvard, Timothy Leary went on to become a national priest of LSD and for some time ran an LSD commune in Millbrook, New York. So, he was trying to make it as a, it's like, authorized kind of form of spiritual realization. He published a book, he published his research on how drugs gives. So that shows that anyone can publish anything. So here after some period of time he was thrown off from that job in the Harvard University. When the members of the Millbrook commune heard about the Swami on the Lower East Side who led his followers in chant that got you high, they began visiting the storefront. One night, a group of about 10 hippies from Millbrook came to Swamiji's Kirtan. So this is the group which is promoting the LSD, started by Timothy Leary. They all chanted, not so much in worship of Krishna as to see what kind of high the chanting could produce. So they were coming to chant Hare Krishna to compare it with LSD, basically. LSD is giving this much kick, how much chanting Hare Krishna can give me? So whether it is working in that sense. So they were not for worshipping Krishna. And after the lecture, a Millbrook leader asked about drugs. Prabhupada replied that drugs were not necessary for spiritual life, that they could not produce spiritual consciousness, and that all drug induced religious visions are simply hallucinations. Hallucination means dream. So, whenever someone is taking drug, that is just a, he becomes into dream world. That is not a reality. So Prabhupada is telling that is a hallucination. To realize God was not so easy or cheap that one could do it just by taking a pill or smoking. So Prabhupada was here to give very authorized process of achieving God and God consciousness. And it was not so cheap that you can take some drug and understand God. Chanting Hare Krishna, he explained, was a purifying process to uncover one's pure consciousness. Taking drug would increase the covering and bar one from self-realization. Because already we are into illusion, considering ourselves as body. And then intoxication makes us illusion square, that becomes double the illusion. So this LSD is like when you, take LSD, the same Prabhupada Lilamrit, the description comes that they start getting different feelings which are little extraordinary. They start feeling of, they are flying in the sky. They feel that, they see some different colors in front of their eyes. They hear some different sounds. So all these things create little titillation, and that was considered as spiritual experience. So Prabhupada is telling that is not spiritual experience, that is actually covering the soul. You are becoming more covered to actual reality. So here is a challenge, that one of the person who challenged Prabhupada, he says, but you have never taken LSD. The question was now become a challenge. So he is asking, how can you propagate that LSD is not required when you yourself has not taken? So you have not experienced, what right you have to propagate that LSD is wrong? So Prabhupada is also no less. Prabhupada says, no, I have never taken any of these things, not even cigarette or tea. So then he said, if you haven't taken it, then how can you say what it is? The Millbrook looked around, smiling. Two or three even burst out with laughter, and they snapped their fingers, thinking that Swamiji had checkmated. So they thought that, we'll checkmate Swami, that, you have not done it, so how can you say? So either now Swamiji has to test it and then tell, and if he tests, then he cannot tell others to test it. So they thought that now we have put, and it's like, caught Swamiji. So Prabhupada says, I have not taken, Prabhupada replied regally from his dais, but my disciple have taken all these things, marijuana, LSD, many times, and they have given them all up. You can hear from them. I agree, you speak. And Hayagriv sat up a little and spoke out in his stenorian best. So Prabhupada said, yes, I have not taken, but these people have taken, and they have given it up. So you hear from them. So then Prabhupada told Hayagriv, Prabhu, to give some class there, only 2 minutes. So Hayagriv Prabhu says, well, no matter how high you go on LSD, you eventually reach a peak, and then you have to come back down, just like traveling into outer space in a rocket ship. So he gave one of the Swamiji's familiar example. Prabhupada used to say, when the ship, the rocket goes inside the sky, but it cannot remain there, it has to come down. It's like the aeroplane, it can go high, but then when the petrol ends, it has to come down to get the petrol. So similarly, any such material activities like LSD, you may go high materially, but then you have to come down again. Your spacecraft can travel very far away from the earth for thousands of miles day after day, but it cannot simply go on traveling and traveling. Eventually it must land. On LSD we experience going up, but we always have to come down again. That's not spiritual consciousness. When you actually attain spiritual or Krishna consciousness, you stay high because you go to Krishna. You don't have to come down. You can stay high forever. Prabhupada was sitting in the back room with Hayagriva and Umapati and other disciples. The evening meeting had just ended and the visitors from Millbrook had gone. Krishna consciousness is so nice, Swamiji, Umapati spoke up. You just get higher and higher and you don't come down. Prabhupada smiled. Yes, that is right. No more coming down, Umapati said, laughing, and others also began to laugh. Some clapped their hands, repeating, "No more coming down." The conversation inspired Hayagriva and Umapati to produce a new handbill. They started this pamphlet to distribute to all people. The pamphlet printed, "Stay high forever, no more coming down. Practice Krishna consciousness, expand your consciousness by practicing transcendental sound vibration." And that is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The leaflet went on to extol Krishna consciousness over any other high. So, the leaflet described how it goes beyond all other drugs. It included paragraphs like, "End all bring downs and turn on." And it spoke against employing artificially induced methods of self-realization and expanded consciousness. Someone objected to the flyers playing too much off the hippie mentality. Some of the students, they said, this is like, this advertisement is looking like a hippie advertisement. But Prabhupada said it was all right. Greg, when these drugs people on the lower east side came and talked to Swamiji, he was so patient with them, he was speaking on a philosophy which they had never heard before. When someone takes LSD, they are really into themselves and they don't hear philosophy when someone talks to them. So Swamiji would make particular point and they wouldn't understand him. So he would have to make the same point again. He was very patient with these people, but he would not give in to their claim that LSD was a bona fide spiritual aid to self-realization. He is saying that Prabhupada has to speak to these drug addicts, and it was so difficult. And we have seen also, those who have not taken drugs, it's so difficult to tell them about Krishna consciousness. What to speak of, people coming with high in drugs. And here he says, Prabhupada has to repeat so many times, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But still things were not going inside. So Prabhupada was very patient. October 1966. Tompkins Square Park was a park on the lower east side. On the south, it was bordered by 7th Street with its 4 and 5 storied brownstone tenants. On the north side was 10th with more brownstone but in better conditions. And they were very old. Small buildings that house the Tompkins Square branch of the New York Public Library. On Avenue B, the park's east border stood St. Bridge Church, built in 1848. When the neighborhood had been entirely Irish, the church, school and rectory still occupied much of the block. And the west border of the park, Avenue A, was lined with tiny old candy stores. West border of the park, Avenue A, selling newspapers, magazines, cigarettes and egg cream sodas at the counter. There were also a few bars, several grocery stores and couple of Slavic restaurants specializing in inexpensive vegetable broths, which brought Ukrainian and hippies side by side for bodily nourishment. So this is the description of Satswarup Maharaj. The park's 10-acre held many tall trees, but at least half the park was paved. A new network of 5-foot-high heavy wrought iron fences waved through the park, lining the walkways and protecting the grass. The fences and the many walkways and entrances to the park gave it the effect of a maze. Since the weather was still warm and it was Sunday, the park was crowded with people. Almost all the space on the benches that lined the walker was occupied. There were old people, mostly Ukrainian, dressed in outdated suits and sweaters, even in the warm weather, sitting together in clans talking. There were many children in the park also, mostly Puertorians and black, but also fair-haired, hard-faced slum kids racing around on bikes or playing with the balls and frisbees. The basketball and handball courts were mostly taken by the teenagers. And as always, there were plenty of loose running dogs. A marble miniature gazebo, four pillars and the roof with a drinking fountain inside was a remnant from the old days, 1891. According to the inscription, on its four sides were the words hope, faith, charity and temperance. But someone had sprayed the whole structure with black paint, making crude designs and illegal names and initials. Today a bench had been taken over by several conga and bongo drummers, and the whole park pulsed with the demanding rhythms. And the hippies were there, different from the others. The bearded Bohemian men and their long-haired young girlfriends dressed in old blue jeans were still an unusual sight, even in the Lower East Side melting point. Their presence created tension. They were from middle-class families, and so they had not been driven to the slums by dire economic necessity. This created conflicts in their dealings with the underprivileged immigrants, and the hippies' well-known proclivity for psychedelic drugs, their revolt against their families and affluence, and their absorption in the avant-garde sometimes made them jeered minority among their neighbors. But the hippies just wanted to do their own things and create their own revolution for love and peace. So usually they were tolerated, although not appreciated. So this hippie movement was just started in America, and even these hippies were not so much appreciated in America. And they were like, although they were in good numbers, minority, so people were somehow tolerating them, and these people were living around. Because the hippies were not like poor people, you know, staying on the street. They were coming from good families, middle class families, but they have left their homes, left their society in search of something new. They wanted to experience something new than just stereotyped life, doing some job 11 to 5, you know, doing all same ritualistic, you know, things. So they were not so happy with the lifestyle. So they wanted something to experience new. But then he says here that usually they were tolerated, although not appreciated. They were just being there in the park. There were various groups amongst the young and hip at Tompkins Square Park. There were friends who had gone to the same school together, who took the same drug together, or who agreed on a particular philosophy of art, literature, politics and metaphysics. There were lovers, there were group hanging out together for reasons expect for the common purpose of doing their own things. And there were others who lived like hermits, a loner who would sit on a park bench analyzing the effect of cocaine, looking up at the strangely rustling green leaves of the trees and the blue sky above the tenements, and then down to the garbage at its feet, as he helplessly followed his mind from fear to illumination, to disgust, to hallucination, and on, until after a few hours the drug began to wear off, and he was again a common stranger. Sometimes they would sit up all night, spaced out, in the park, until at last, in the light of morning, they would stretch out in bench to sleep. So whole night they will be in the possession of drugs, and at night when the night ends, morning they will come little out of the drugs, then they will take rest in the morning. They will go to sleep there only in the park. So that was like a common view. Whole day and night they were lying around, either in the drug or doing other things. Hippies especially took to the park on Sundays. They at least passed through the park on their way to St. Mark's Place. Greenwich Village or the Lexington Avenue subway at Astor Place, or IND subway at Huston and 2nd, or to catch an uptown bus for 1st Avenue, a downtown bus on 2nd, or a crosstown on 9th. Quite detailed. Or they went to the park just to get out of their apartment and sit together in the open air to get high again, to talk or to walk through the park's maze of pathways. But whatever the hippies' diverse interests and drives, the Lower East Side was an essential part of the mystic. It was not only a dirty slum, it was the best place in the world to conduct the experiment in consciousness. For all its filth and threat of violence and the confined life of its brownstone tenements, the Lower East Side was still the forefront of the revolution in mind expansion. Unless you were living there and taking psychedelic or marijuana, or at least intellectually pursuing the quest for free personal religion, you weren't enlightened, and you weren't taking part in the most progressive evolution of human consciousness. And it was like this searching, a quest beyond the humdrum experience of the ordinary materialistic straight Americans, that would brought unity to the otherwise eclectic gathering of hippies on the Lower East Side. So that was considered the way of life, to not want so-called straight normal person lives. So that was experience gathering lifestyle of trying drugs, trying different things, and looking for something new in life to experience. And some of the people who are of the same mentality, they were coming together and living. Into this chaotic pavement, Swamiji entered with his followers and sat down to hold a kirtan. Three or four devotees who arrived ahead of him selected an open area of the park, put out the oriental carpet Robert Nelson had donated, sat down on it and began playing kartals and chanting Hare Krishna. Immediately some boys rode up on their bicycles chanting Hare Krishna. Barked just short of the carpet and stood astride their bikes, curiously and irrelevantly staring. Others passerby gathered to listen. Meanwhile, Swamiji, accompanied by a half dozen disciples, was walking in the 8 blocks from the storefront. Brahmananda carried the harmonium and the Swamiji's drum. Kirtanananda, who was now shaven-headed at Swamiji's request and had dressed in loose-flowing canary yellow robes, created an extra sensation. Drivers pulled their cars over to have a look. Their passengers, leaning forward at the outrageous dress and shaved head. As the group passed a store, people inside would poke each other and indicate the spectacle. People came to the windows of their tenements, taking in Swamiji's and his group as if a parade were passing. The Putrorian tough guys especially couldn't restrain themselves from exaggerated reactions, and they shouted at Prabhupada and his followers. He says, "Hey Buddha, They taunted, "Hey, you forgot to change your pajamas." They made shrill screams as if imitating Indians' war whoops they had heard in Hollywood westerns. "Hey, Arabs!" exclaimed one hacker, who began imitating what he thought was an Eastern dance. No one on the street knew anything about Krishna consciousness, nor even of Hindu culture and custom. To them, the Swamiji's entourage was just a bunch of crazy hippies showing off, but didn't quite know what to make of Swami. He was different. Nevertheless, they were suspicious. Some, however, like Irving Halpern, a veteran Lower East Side resident, felt sympathetic towards his stranger, who was apparently a very dignified person on a peaceful mission. So, when Prabhupada is going with the whole group, the devotee's lifestyle also was not less strange than the hippies. The hippies also were very strange, and devotees also were no less in terms of their dress, in terms of their hairstyle, in terms of their way of singing and dancing in the streets. So, some of them took it as another hippie, style. But some could understand that all other people are hippies, but the Swami is not looking like a hippie. He is something different. So here he says, Irving Halpern, he says, a lot of people had spectacularized notions of what a Swami was, as though they were going to suddenly see people lying on little mattresses made out of nails, and all kinds of their absurd notions. Yet, here came just a very graceful, peaceful, gentle, obviously well-meaning being in the lost of hostility. So, he writes here, this one observer, that amongst this hippie hostile culture, Prabhupada is walking as a something very strange, being very graceful, peaceful, gentle, well-mannered person. Hippies, what are the communists? So these are all the remarks of the people. While the young taunted, the middle-aged elderly shook their heads or stared, cold and uncomprehending. The way to the park was potted with blasphemies, jokes and tensions, but no violence. After the successful kirtan in Washington Square Park, Prabhupada had regularly been sending out parades of three or four devotees chanting and playing hand cymbals through the streets and sidewalks of the Lower East Side. On one occasion, they had been bombarded with water balloons and eggs, and they were sometimes faced with people looking for a fight, but they were never attacked, just stared at, laughed at, or shouted after. So, the devotees has to go through so much of opposition also. He says, they were thrown balloons of waters, eggs, and so much of taunting. But Prabhupada, because he was convinced about the effect of chanting Hare Krishna, he was knew that this will create a worldwide movement amongst this whole hippie culture. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada Lila Amrita ki jai.